Hi, and welcome back. This is Chris Barron from Impact Charlotte. On this new collaborative podcast series, we take a deep look at all the things people are saying about God, Jesus, and Christianity. We know that the specific views that people have usually end up looking different from reality or from the truth. This confusion just grows and grows, and a lot of what people think and what they say moves further and further from the truth. Today, I'm here with my friends Tyler Korn and Scott Johnson. Last time, we talked about Jesus, more specifically, what he was all about. This episode, we'll go a step further by looking at what all this has to do with us. What does Jesus want from us? We're glad that you've chosen to take a listen. This is So They Say. A lot of people think that Jesus just came to save us, and then that's it. Is it though? What does Jesus want with us? Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Chris, how you doing, man?
Good. Good this morning.
It's almost time for lunch.
Oh. This is like a new morning, though, right?
Are you going to eat today, or is it greens? Greens? Lots of greens?
Moving on.
Okay. For those of you who don't understand the inside joke, Tyler is training to run
I'm just going to...
6K?
But so much time has passed between our last episode, right? Did you ready to run?
How's your training going, by the way, since last time we talked?
I'm not going to dignify any of these comments.
I could prop money if... Did you bring your lunch today?
Yes, of course.
Okay, I already know what the lunch is.
Greens?
No.
Yes.
No.
Oh, no. It's a burger. It's two burger patties with cheese. And then he'll probably
Why are we talking about this? Why are we talking about this?
Are you ketoing a little bit?
Why are we doing this?
I'm just curious.
This is not So They Say. This is just commentary on Tyler's lifestyle.
Okay.
This is why you gathered us, right, Tyler?
Okay. Yes. Okay. We'll move on.
Please. Enough.
We'll move on.
Enough is enough. I'm
playing. What does Jesus want with you, Tyler? What's he want with you?
I'm very excited about us having this conversation.
Okay.
You sound surprised. You look surprised.
I'm just waiting with bated breath.
Wait, what are we doing here? I forgot.
I'm really excited.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think this to me, and tell me what, I mean, I can't imagine that this is not like the crux of like half of your conversation.
This is everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does Jesus want with me? I cannot imagine that is not the absolute crossroads that every human being that comes into contact with God eventually comes to and tries to figure out. And a lot of times can't quite bust through the barrier. And maybe it's because we put in a really weird barrier that's super thick because it's been around for a long, long time and it's incredibly false.
Yes.
But I mean, right? That's your conversation with most of your students. It's like,
yeah, because most of the people we interact with, they are in some place where they feel somewhat secure about where they are.
Mm-hmm.
In meaning that, like, I'm a Christian or not a Christian.
Right.
Right. If I'm a Christian, I think the next logical question is like, okay, so what am I supposed to do now?
Right.
I believe in God. He exists. I believe in some of the things that he says about himself.
Yeah.
I believe in what Jesus says about himself. Where am I in all this?
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, like trying to find purpose and identity in my people from that main question.
Yeah. I almost would argue with a lot of people we've talked to that this question, the way it's phrased, what does Jesus want with us or what does Jesus want with me? I don't know if they're actually thinking about that. Right. Because I think a lot of people think it's about the idea of Christianity. Right. And it is, now that I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to do Christian things.
Right.
But this is suggesting that Jesus is a person that might want something specifically with me as a person.
Yeah.
Right. And that even then, I think that this would be like, what do you mean? What do you mean Jesus wants something?
Because the posture is different.
Yes.
It's instead of like me asking Jesus, what do you want with me? The question is the opposite way. Is that what you're saying?
Are you saying like that? Because like, I think like a lot of people think, and we've just kind of broken that up a little bit, that most people think that Jesus came to start a religion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then what's he want from me? Well, he just wants you to join the religion.
Just be part of the religion. Yes.
And then you're in, and then I guess we just kind of float around.
Yeah.
Okay. I would agree a million times over. That because we've also, you know, we've made Christianity into a religion. We've also made Judaism into a religion, which it's not.
That's a take.
That's a big one. That's we'll come back to that some other day.
Save it.
Just shortly though, it's a culture. It's a way of life. So, but you know, this whole thing really kind of centers around like one of the main questions that you guys use on campus when you talk to students is, you know, religion versus relationship. And, when you ask the question, what does Jesus want with me? I would say the first thing is to be saved.
Yes.
You know, come to him, which is be saved. And then your salvation then ushers you into a whole new world, AKA religion, that is primarily focused around going to church and being a better human being, slightly better human being at the very least than what you were before you got saved. And then pray every once in a while, read a Bible every once in a while, maybe as go as far as get into a Bible study. But make sure you go to church.
Yes.
And so that, as we were just saying before this thing started, is like, so if Jesus is the way, you know, it's one of the little phrases, Jesus is the way to what?
Yes,
the way to the cul-de-sac. He's the little road that takes you to the cul-de-sac. Yeah. What's in the center of the cul-de-sac? The church.
Yeah.
And the church world and the religion and everything that comes with that. And so then maybe college students aren't asking that question deeper at this point. Maybe they are. I definitely know that people who are a little bit further down the road in life are absolutely asking this question. People who've lived in the cul-de-sac for a long time are like, what's the deal with, it's getting kind of boring going around in the cul-de-sac.
Yes.
Is this really what Jesus wants for me? And so then that brings about podcasts like this. It's always, I always find it interesting that people can get to the point where that is a deeper question. And I'm grateful. Hopefully if you're listening and that's you, then listen on, because we're going to talk about that. What does Jesus want with me? What did he want with you when you first, what were your thoughts when you first met him, Tyler?
That's even that right there is a little bit weird, because when did I first meet Jesus, and then when did I first become a Christian? Those can be two different things.
What was your initial? Met him.
Yeah.
Through your parents, probably.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. Pastor's kid here. So
yep.
It's gonna be, God is almost like my parents. So like I know God because I have great parents.
Yeah.
Right. He, God was, and throw Jesus into this as well. They were making sure that I was a good Christian boy. That was the primary, like, that was the theme of my life.
Yeah.
Was God sees me. He knows me. That's kind of terrifying. Okay. Then I have to be on best behavior all the time.
Yeah.
Just every single day. And I grew up in a way where like, that was, I did a really good job, and that was relatively easy. I was like a shy kid, and I was always at church. And even though like I was on all of these different sports teams, like I kept to myself, and in my head, I just knew, who cares what anybody thinks about me? Like, I know my responsibility, and that is to make God happy. How do I make God happy? Well, these are the things. And it was very simple for me.
Yeah.
Like, don't smoke. Don't drink.
Right.
Don't curse.
Yeah.
Go to church. Sing the songs, pray, read the Bible, and even at church, like be the person that acts like they know what's going on.
Okay.
And so a lot of my life growing up was pretending to be somebody, or no, I was the good Christian.
Yeah, you were doing what you thought.
But I didn't know that I was pretending to know God.
Yeah, right.
And be in a relationship with him.
Yeah.
Which is like, up until I got to college, right? When I started to really question things and ask, like, okay, so what am I doing?
Yeah.
What's really happening? who actually is God and what is the Bible, I then discovered and had people around me to help me discover, like, oh, I really have internally, my perspective was completely off. And that's not anybody's fault. That's just Tyler.
Sure.
So, yeah.
So Jesus wanted from you right off the bat to be a good guy, do all the right things, yes, and go to church.
Yes. And probably what we're going to get into is that he was not inviting me into anything that he was doing. So there was no partnership, which we'll talk about, right?
Yeah.
There was no, like, Tyler, I want you to work alongside of me in wherever you're at.
Yeah.
But you need to, like, I want you to want that.
Yeah.
And I want you to ask me about that stuff. But I just didn't have that perspective.
Yeah. It was all on everything pretty much, like, you know, teetered on you doing certain things or not
doing
certain things.
It teetered on me obeying.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Obeying.
What?
Obeying what?
Obeying God.
What you thought God wanted.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yes, gotcha. Exactly. I was told what God wanted me to do.
Yeah.
I actually didn't discover it for myself.
Okay.
So,
Chris, what did God want? What did Jesus, what did he want from you?
I have a similar, I think, to reduce it down to, right? It was just doing the things I was supposed to do the way I interpreted it as, like, a small kid, right? Mm-hmm. And I think to Tyler's point, like, it wasn't like I was smoking or drinking or, like, you know, sleeping around or doing anything like that, right? But
those are the ultimate,
right? Right. Those were, like, the three, the trinity of
those are the big ones.
Yeah. And even though I wasn't doing that, I still always just felt like a bad Christian because I didn't. It's almost like I know I felt obligated to do those, and I did those out of, like, I guess I'm supposed to do it, mm-hmm, and I just felt like not a good Christian. I don't know how to describe it because, wasn't, what can you possibly do at, like, 10 or 12, right? That's really bad. But you're just kind of fed this, like, you have to want that it'd be on fire. It's 100% in. Mm-hmm. Are you sure you're sure that you're going to heaven? Mm-hmm. Like, right. Hell's really bad.
Right.
So I think what Jesus wanted for me, it wasn't, again, this is like, I didn't know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was the religion. It was, like, I don't know how good it was. Chick-fil-A wanted something for me, not Truett Cathy, right? I don't know any other companies, like CEO or whatever, right?
Yeah.
That was the difference.
It's the establishment was actually wanting something from you. Were answering that instead of the
Like, what did this,
like,
one person?
It's like, I'm gonna like strictly obey the Bible, but not necessarily get to understand who the Bible actually talks about.
This is it, right? That was the knowledge. That's what, when you were saying obeying, yes, I was obeying the things how I interpreted the Bible told me to obey.
Yeah.
Without actually meeting the person the Bible was, like, revealing about.
Right, yeah.
So I wouldn't say I didn't. That's why I said earlier, I don't think a lot of people are actually asking this question, because their relationship with Jesus is only through, like, the religion of Christianity,
mm-hmm,
right? And so they're, Jesus is taken out of it, because he's in the other room controlling Christianity, and Christianity is telling you what to do.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It wasn't until later that, like, man, there is this relationship aspect. Because, mm-hmm, I think my parents tried to do the best they could, mm-hmm, but I think there's just so much going on in my life from other places, from, like, the private Christian school, missionary school that I grew up, mm-hmm, going to, churches, and I don't know, you just hear things in the culture, right? And you have an undeveloped brain. I don't think my brain could stretch from, like, black and white to, like, what is, you know, I don't know.
Right.
But I wouldn't say I knew. Yeah. And I wouldn't have been able to answer that question back then. Asked me back then.
Yeah.
It wasn't until later I realized, like, Jesus was wanting something from me, and nothing that I ever thought he wanted from me.
Yeah, I would say that probably if I would think about, you know, so I was 15 when I started in this kind of stuff. And I think if I would think back and think of this, someone asked me that question at the same time, right? At the time, you're saying, what would my answer have been? I probably would have said to definitely, follow his example, you know, to be that kind of person, right? And then also try to my best to like win people, right? Win people.
That's an interesting word choice.
Yeah, win people. And you know, trying to get friends to come to church, come to youth group or something like that. Which that's not a, that's fine, but well, I guess it depended on like my reasoning behind my motive of why I was doing that. Was it to win people, or was it because we had fun and I thought my friend might have fun? Why'd you come and have fun? But I think it's okay for young people to not have to like immediately figure that out on day one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Because hopefully what we're talking about here is not, it's probably maybe more centered along adults who have like gone down the road a little bit further. I think it's absolutely fine to like be immature in your relationship with God. If it is a relationship and it's pals at the beginning and it's like intimate brothers in partnership at the end, so be it. Cool.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like, you know, 500 feet deep right off the bat. Typically it doesn't.
No.
So that's fine. But eventually you can't just keep floating around the kiddie pool and thinking this is it.
Yeah.
I can't, as we've said, as we have met over the last several years, understanding that most people are definitely wondering what is this? And there's gotta be more to it. And so the more should then lead them to this understanding that Jesus actually does want something from you. And it's not just to be buddies, or it's not just to use him as the avenue to get to church and swim around in that Christian culture, the Christian church culture for forever. So we talked about like the Bible Project and Tim Mackey, and he talks about, he has a video on YouTube you can go watch, and where he's teaching at one of his old churches, and he's talking about like most people think that like, you know, the way that we do this is like, we, you know, we get saved, we come to God, and we go down this path, right? There's two paths to choose. I mean, this one path here leads to heaven. You have to do all, you know, you gotta keep doing all the right things to stay on this path. And then if you don't do those right things, or you get, you know, tired or whatever, then all of a sudden, next thing you know, whether you knew it or not, now you're on this path, and that path's going down, and that path's going to hell. And really, Jesus, that's really all he wants, is for you to like just stay on the path.
Yeah.
And it's like that becomes like the goal. Yep.
Yeah.
The goal is to stay on the path instead of the goal of being, let's follow the leader. So,
well, can I say,
I think.
If we were to like really pull and ask our students now who are Christians, who we're working with, and a lot of them grew up in the church, if we were really ask them, hey, how often do you think about like the path that you're on right now is actually, or the fear of going to heaven versus hell as Christians? And I think a lot of them would actually answer, I still am trying to not go to hell.
Absolutely.
Right. Because if your choices are the only those two paths, right? And that is just it. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Then the path to heaven.
Yeah.
Right. Doesn't go anywhere. It is just like, stay here.
Yeah.
Because you could slip into the path of hell. Those are the only two choices. So like that'll become the whole world. And what we're saying is like, there's so much more. Like, just forget the idea. Trust. You have to trust that God is like, not just trying to save us out of hell. Right. But he's trying to show us so much more. But then I think people, if that's all they see, then their fear is, I might go to hell if I don't do enough. But like, that is, it's crazy how many Christians still think that. Like, right? People who are older, like older and mature, who does not be mutually exclusive.
Well, I'll agree to that.
Okay. Yeah, it's just like they still think, as a Christian, I'm trying to do my best not to go to hell.
Yeah.
Well, you know why we're still doing that? It's because we've got over 1,000 years of teaching that. That's why.
Correct.
That's why.
Yeah.
We're just now really starting to stick our heads out of the sand and go, oh, well, there's more than just little crystally rocks, you know, here. So this is what we said about the last episode. We talked about who Jesus was and who he claimed to be. And one thing that we kind of talked about before we started this episode, we were talking about like the word salvation and, you know, that Jesus saves. You know, that's like a little phrase that's been on like, you know, postcards and poster boards and banners and written in the sky with a Skywriter airplane. Yeah, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And that's true. But the question is from what? Mm-hmm. And I think this is what answers like what you just said, Chris, about why we have been like, oh shoot, well, Jesus saves me from hell. So therefore I got to stay on this path.
Yes.
Because if I slip off, I'm going to hell. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is that, you know, Jesus saves, but he's a different type of king. And so therefore salvation is different than what we think it should be. Yeah. And it's not like David crying out, hey, save me from the Amalekites or the mm-hmm. Jehebusites or the your Mamaites or whoever, mm-hmm. you know, it's not that. It's Jesus is like, no. I'm not saving your physical body here. And I'm not actually physically, you know, I'm not going to try to save your soul so much as I'm trying to, you know, rescue you from a mindset that is debilitating, like mm-hmm. what we're talking about, that keeps you in the cul-de-sac. Actually, I'm trying to free the slaves, your mind, into understanding something much bigger. And so I think the best way to really understand the bigger piece of who Jesus is as the different king is we have to look at a couple of things. So I've got a couple of things here that I thought we would look at as far as helping us understanding how the ultimate what Jesus is and then what that means for us. So the first thing is like all throughout the Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those four books that are pretty much, you know, biographies of what people witnessed with Jesus, all throughout, Jesus is referred to as rabbi. Mm-hmm. R-A-B-B-I, rabbi. And the Greek for rabbi is chrabi. I had phlegm from earlier. I was saving it for that moment.
Disgusting.
Chrabi.
In the corner of your mouth.
It was in there. It's packed away.
Like a horse.
I was holding it. Which basically means teacher or master. It can be an honorable title, and it was. But it typically wasn't just given to someone who wasn't a teacher. You didn't just, you know, Lord is more of an honorable generic title, right? Lord Chris, you know, Rabbi though was given to as an honorary title, an official title for a teacher or master, and primarily a teacher or master of the, Torah and the rest of the Old Testament. So Jesus is referred to as rabbi, as rabbi, not only from just like people that don't really know him very well, because I can get that, like, right? I can get that if people right. that just didn't know him, they just go, oh, he's a teacher. He's a good teacher. You heard him. Cool, that's fine. But from the people that know him the best, they even call him rabbi. Mm-hmm. And there's probably a reason why they call him rabbi, because he knew so much. But, and he taught in synagogues like all the time. He was always in synagogues. And that's probably why people accepted him as an official rabbi term, because he was in the synagogues and he knew so much. Even though he was not an actual classically trained rabbi.
Right.
So, but we're going to look at Jesus as a rabbi, because I think that in that we're going to solve both problems. Who he was ultimately and what he's asking from us. Yeah. So I have taught about this before, in one of the podcast episodes back when. Basically, Hebrew children were all expected, not the girls so much, but for boys, they were expected to go to synagogue school. And at the age of 5 or 6, they would go. And for a couple of years, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, they would go to rabbi school and they would learn the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible. And they would get to the point where they would not only learn those 5 books, they would actually memorize them.
Was that a something to obey, like from God? Did God say that? Or was that something that
was set up by
people set up?
It's pretty much people set up. Okay. Like the synagogue. The synagogue is not a curious. Yeah, no, the synagogue is not a ancient deal either. Synagogues were actually set up like a couple hundred years before Jesus came on the scene. Oh. And it's mainly because when the Israelites were separated from the promised land and they were taken into captivity, some Israelites were left. And so they like interbred with like what they would have called like, you know, the nations. We've talked about it before, the nations, which are like any people that do not, or they're not Hebrews and practice life the way the Hebrews lived or worship God the way they're supposed to. So from those people came the half-breed people, right? The Sumerians, Samaritans and people who are definitely looked at as like not real people. Mm-hmm. So, but they still were Hebrews and they still wanted to. So like the woman at the well, right? She tells Jesus, hey, you know, I'm not allowed to worship in Jerusalem. I have to worship like in Samaria. I have to come. Our temple's there. So like she's a Jew, kind of. So in order for, so the diaspora basically, you know, just scattered Jews, right? Well, but they still were Jews. And so they weren't like a nation anymore, and they didn't have formal like understanding and teaching. So the synagogues were built mainly just to help reconnect people to their heritage and to teach them, hey, we need to get back to teaching, you know, our heritage and our culture.
Got it.
And the Torah was the cornerstone of that. So they would go, every boy, Jewish boy, would go and do that. And then after that, they would make like his cut, right? They'd be like going, and Tyler, yeah, he's pretty good. We'll keep him. We'll keep him. Chris, let him go be a fisherman with his, get him over there with his mom.
Outside.
His dad. He needs to get outdoors. Yeah. Yeah, he is. So they would do that. And they would kind of cut the list. And then that list would go on for another couple of years. And they would learn like the rest of the Bible and actually even memorize the rest of the Bible. And then eventually they would cut the list down. I always talk about like the best of the best of the best. And they would really just pull out like the spec ops of Hebrew learning, right? And it's like, these guys got it.
Yeah.
Like they're something special. And from that group, that small group of the best of the best of the best, they would continue on and they would continue on with a rabbi. So a rabbi who is a professional teacher, that's how he earns his living. That's the only thing he does. And so it'd be like a college professor kind of mentality, taking on an understudy, whatever kind of stuff. And so then that's where we get the concept of disciple, right? Mm-hmm. So a disciple is a mathetes, which is the Greek word that basically just means learner, student, or pupil. It's kind of a generic kind of a deal. But in this situation, you know, you weren't really going to school anymore unless you were in with a rabbi, right? So like if you were 7 or 8 years old or 9 years old and you needed to make the cut, you weren't a student anymore. Mm-hmm. You didn't go to school. Mm. You learned a trade. So you would not have been a disciple. A disciple would primarily have been, that word mathetes would have been, you know, set alone for just one specific purpose.
Got it.
And it would have been someone who literally would have left their parents and they have gone and lived and followed the rabbi. And that rabbi would have a certain amount of students that he would continue to teach. And the ultimate goal for those students was to eventually become a rabbi. That's it.
Right.
Bottom line, that's where rabbis came from. They came from that long journey of schooling to eventually become their own rabbi.
But rabbis, they were not, their only responsibility, I'm assuming, was not just to teach other, just to teach students. They had like community roles as well.
Yeah, they could, okay. They could like certain rabbis would take on disciples, some other rabbis. So like, it wasn't like this, a rabbi only did these things.
Right.
Like even a person, one of the Pharisees, you know, most of the Pharisees were rabbis at mm-hmm. some point. They had gone through. So like if, but a specific rabbi who's over a synagogue and has a set of disciples, that would have been like your local, mm-hmm. you know, rabbi. Now he may have been a part of, cause I mean, think of like the, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, think of them more of like a political party. That's kind of what they were
yeah.
more. But they were built, they were based up of like religious leaders, rabbis and other religious leaders. So therefore, you know, that's why I said earlier about like, you know, last episode that we see Judaism as a religion.
Yeah.
But it's not a religion. It's a way of life.
Yes, yes. They weren't just exclusively religious leaders. They were just like the Jewish leaders.
Right.
So like they were just leaders of the people.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, where did they get their laws from?
Right.
The Bible.
Right.
Where'd they get their education from?
Right.
The Bible. Where'd they get the customs from? The Bible. So like everything, not that they didn't learn math and those kinds of things. I know that they did, but their culture was really more interested in continuing the story
right.
from their heritage than they were really anything else. And okay. everything else okay. would kind of come into the play. Right. So really, most kids, you know, wanted to be a rabbi. I always say it's like, you know, kids growing up, like wanting to be a superhero, mm-hmm. like, you're like, oh man, I'd love to be Spider-Man crawling on the walls. I always think of it was like one of the coolest things Spider-Man could do is like crawl on the ceiling, you know, like be hanging on the ceiling in
that
the dark
like you.
And like someone walk in and have no clue I'm hanging on the ceiling.
Yeah, sounds like
that would be stinking cool as crap. Flying would be cool as crap as well.
Yeah. Batman being a billionaire would be cool.
Being a billionaire would be cool. Whether I'm Batman or not, just being a billionaire cool. So it's like that kind of thing where like all the kids are like going, oh man, I want to be a rabbi. I want to be a rabbi. They wore different stuff.
Why do they want to be a rabbi so bad?
Because that is the center of their culture.
Okay.
Right.
That was
the center of the culture is someone who's teaching for a living. They're teaching their culture.
So they have power. Like they have wealth. They're famous.
They're famous.
Okay.
I don't know if they have wealth or not. I mean, that's not necessarily a part of the equation, but okay. I'm sure they were taken care of. Okay. Let's put it that way. They didn't probably ever have to worry about money. But they absolutely were prestigious. Okay. There's no doubt about it. Everybody knew who they were. And like I said, that's why Jesus like talks about hypocrisy and he sees rabbis and priests and those kinds of things, like sitting on the street corner wailing, you know, cause they're drawing a crowd. Cause they know what that means. Actually, one of the scripture verses, Jesus talks about his disciples being rabbis and he basically says, you know, rabbis typically they go out and they want fame. They want people to like look at them and go, hey, check me out. And Jesus even teaches his disciples, that's not the kind of rabbis that we're going to be. So, but that was like, oh man, I want to be a rabbi. So that's the culture. That's the way it was. And it's not a coincidence that Jesus then is called rabbi because they immediately would accept him as that, okay. even if he didn't go. I mean, that's why like even people are freaked out when they hear of Jesus and they know him as a rabbi and they don't necessarily know him as like Messiah, but they definitely, at the very least, they know him as rabbi at the very least. I mean, come on. He's an incredible teacher.
Yeah.
He's been in the synagogue. He may have even wore some of the same clothing that our rabbis have worn. So like, for instance, like, you know, when that one woman, like, I just want to touch the end of his robe.
Oh, yeah.
Like people have said that was probably his tassels, which are actually part of like a sash that he would have worn, and tassels were at the end of that. Cause there's like this idea of like touching the tassels of a rabbi's sash, like there being like healing powers or stuff like that.
Okay,
so that's why they go try to do that with Jesus. So Jesus may have actually played the part.
Hold up.
Mm-hmm.
In my head, to be a rabbi, you have to go through the school, correct?
Yep.
But he didn't do that?
He did the beginning of it, I'm sure.
But he didn't go all the way.
Probably not.
Because he was known as a carpenter.
Yes.
Correct?
He learned to trade with his dad.
Not as like an apprentice to a rabbi.
Yeah.
He was definitely not an apprentice to a rabbi. Yeah.
So how, but in my head, in scripture, like there's not a lot of fuss about people accepting that he's a rabbi.
Right.
I think it's because of the way he was able to teach and talk.
Yes.
I think the only people who had that much knowledge or confidence were rabbis. That's probably the only way they could be like, oh, this guy is a rabbi.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that it was, they were able to overlook his uneducation.
Right. His credentials, basically. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He didn't graduate from the rabbinic school.
Yes. Like nobody, I'm assuming nobody really knew Jesus to be this kind of person. And then all of a sudden he shows up.
That's probably why
the
Pharisees and other people had problems with him, because they're like, dude, he's not.
But then he starts talking the way that he's talking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think a generic general idea of Jesus would have been that something special about him.
Okay.
At the very least.
Okay. So there was an acknowledgement of him being a little bit different.
Absolutely. Well, the story, I think it's in Luke, where Jesus gets left behind when the whole family goes in Jerusalem for worship. Right. Yeah. Which is once a year kind of a deal. And they make these big pilgrimages and they go stay with family and it's a whole big, month long deal. And they're like, oh crud, where's Jesus? If you've ever been left at the grocery store, by your parents before in your life, you understand, oh shoot, I've been left here. But instead of crying or going up to someone's like, oh, I can't find my mommy. And they make an announcement. Jesus is actually found teaching in the temple courts and the people are like blown away. So some people would say Jesus was raised in Nazareth. I'm sure the people there are like going, he's a rabbi? What? I don't believe that. I think they probably thought this kid's got something special. Now, he was not, we definitely know that he didn't go through the whole deal. Don't know exactly why, if he's special.
Yeah, but maybe, the recruits and scouts. They
yeah,
like,
yeah. Maybe he wasn't special in the first 6 years of his life. He didn't make the cut. And then a couple of years later, it's like, boom, I don't know.
Late bloomer.
Yeah, maybe he was. And so the bottom line is that nobody denies that he is at the very least a rabbi. And probably a rabbi, that's why people thought of him more like of Elijah and his cousin John. John the Baptizer, he's probably Elijah as well. Why? Because they see Elijah as someone that God specifically sent.
Okay.
Was he 100% human? Yeah. Was he 100% divine? No. Mm-hmm. But he was 15% divine because he was
spirit of God.
You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And Jesus, for the most part, probably would have been exactly the same kind of thing. And so was John the Baptizer. Where hey, I'm not denying something special about this guy. I'm not denying even I believe it was, I can't remember who it was. One of the, I'll have it for next time. But basically the Pharisees communicating with one another, hey, listen, we can't kill him because he's definitely special. Mm-hmm. It'd be like us trying to kill, Elijah. Yeah. We can't do that. But the further that it went with Jesus, they saw him more as a threat and really kind of overlooked the idea that he might actually be from God, which is crazy to think about that.
Yes.
That's how self-centered they were. So Jesus is a rabbi. Jesus actually has students. He calls them disciples. We call them disciples. Yeah. Most of the time we see just the main 12 disciples, but the reality is that all of them were disciples. He had an inner circle of 12 and then an inner circle of 3 from that. But so Jesus is, if anything, and if he really did play the part by wearing the same kind of clothing that rabbis would have wore, and they think that he did, then like one of the main messages that he's actually portraying is that he is a rabbi. Now he's also the Messiah, and he's also all the things that we talked about last time too, right? He's all those things, but he's a different type of Messiah and he's a different type of rabbi, but he's going to incorporate all the same things that a rabbi does. I mean, when he called his students, they all left what they were doing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Same thing.
Yep.
Right. They were older, but they left what they were doing. They left their professions, left their families. They went with him. I mean, for months at a time, they would be out on mission and they'd come back and maybe be able to see their family and that kind of stuff. They went all over. So this is a rabbi, an actual rabbi student situation going on here. And when you look at that, it's very quickly, you can dismiss the concept that this is a religion. It's not.
Yeah.
It's a relationship. And something that I think you just kind of said right off the bat is like, it's not just a relationship. It's a partnership. It's a partnership. It's a symbiotic partnership where both, you know, it's not a partnership of like, oh, there's a God. And then his role is to be God. And my role is to go and sacrifice to the God. Mm-hmm. No, that's not a symbiotic relationship. A symbiotic relationship means that there's give and take, right? And like the yin and yang, they fit together and they work together. God has been looking for partnership since Adam and Eve. He got it through Abraham, and he made this like famous promise to Abraham, right? That I'm going to create this incredible family through you. And it's not just a family of like your descendants. I mean, a family, and that family is going to get created through Jesus. And so Jesus is just an epitome of this partnership through this concept of rabbi and disciple. And so like the number one, so going back a few episodes, we talked about like at the very, beginning, we were talking about like, what is a Messiah then, right? What is a Christ? What is a Messiah? What is an anointed one? What does that whole concept mean? Because we can only understand Christianity by understanding Christ. But so now we know what Christ is, right? We know what that concept is. So the Christian is, as we said, is like someone who is pertaining to the Messiah. And that can mean a lot of different things. But when it comes to Jesus, the Messiah, right? And it comes to like, we're going to claim Jesus as the Messiah. Then what is a Christian? Mm-hmm. And what does Jesus, what's he looking for in a Christian? Mm-hmm. It's very simple. He's looking for someone to be all about what the Messiah is all about. This king, this new king. And the bottom line is that Jesus, for the most part, he plays a part of a rabbi a lot. And he's so much more than that. We get that. But at the core, like his life is to come and teach and reteach. And we talked about that last episode too, right? You've heard it said, but I'm going to tell you the truth. So his whole role really, besides, you know, yes, providing salvation, but salvation looks like this. It looks like this rabbi and student relationship, this partnership.
Yeah.
And so when Jesus calls his disciples, like you said earlier, Tyler, like when you were a kid, you didn't, you know, it wasn't really about like me seeing what God's doing in the world and me joining him.
Right.
It was just like, well, I thought God was just telling me I just need to be good and do these things and keep this level going.
Yeah.
But when you realize that that's not it, you do realize that Jesus is the rabbi and he's out actually doing rabbi things in the world currently right now. Mm-hmm. And so what does he want? He's wanting disciples. He's making disciples. He's making students. And ultimately, as we know very well, in Matthew, 28, the last thing that Jesus says before he kind of leaves everybody for a while is he tells them that they need to go and make disciples now. So now he's saying that they need to be the rabbi. Mm-hmm. Not the rabbi, you know, capital R, little R. We're all little R rabbis. Yeah. He's the capital R. Rabboni. Sorry.
I also want to clarify too, right? It wasn't this like partnership for God to feel like a God, right? So in a way of like, I want to have a kid because I just want to be a dad, right? For the title, right? Because I think a lot of times people think God wants me to partner with him because he, the type of God that he is, he's just hungry for, he just wants to be known as God, right? So it's this idea that like
he's not looking for worshipers.
Yeah. But he is looking for worshipers. So like,
yeah, but the worshipers alone, right? Yes, like I'm just going to be one of the other gods and I need a bunch of people to come and worship me and do sacrifices.
So I think people would say like, he's looking for partnership. It isn't this like, because he doesn't need partnership, but he's such a generous and loving God that he desires partnership with his own creation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's not that now partnership for us isn't, we have to do these things for God.
Right.
But he's showing us like, this is how I created the world.
Right.
This is what you're created for.
Yeah.
And your like innermost, like your soul is craving for the original purpose. And I can show you this in this partnership.
Yeah.
Right. And that is like the reteaching Jesus was trying to do.
Yeah.
But to show us like, this is what this is really all about. Not leaving earth.
Right.
And going to be in heaven. That's not the goal of Christianity.
Right.
Right. It is like this rejoining. And now that you're saved, like, what do you do? Well, Jesus spent time with his disciples to build this relationship, to show them what the kingdom of God was all about. And what you're saying is like, that is now he's asking us to continue that.
Right. Right? Yeah, because this is not a new, I mean, honestly, the salvation is not a new concept, because and that's why I really shudder to say salvation, to use that phrase, because the biggest point is like, okay, cool, partnership to do what? What's God doing that he wants a partner in? And the answer is like, exactly that. It's not necessarily salvation, because that just brings in all kinds of preconceived stuff. It's really about reconciliation. We talked about that reconciliation because there is a purpose that God created us for. N.T. Wright says all the time, it's like image bearers. That's what we were called to be, image bearers. Mm-hmm. We were called to help God change the image of creation, to continue to grow in the original purpose of what creation was supposed to be. Unfortunately, that got broken. The relationship got shattered. And, you know, all through the Old Testament, God is looking for a partner to you know, someone to partner with him in the mission, which is to reconcile the planet.
Yeah.
The all of creation. Exactly. It's not to say, hey, Earth is done. We're going to destroy it. And I'm going to create a room for you in heaven. Yes, it's a big house. Come on up. We got you here. Come on up. Earth's done. No, Earth's not done. Mm-hmm. He could have done that a long time ago. He could have done it with Noah, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. He saved the earth, even though it was a flood. He had to do that in order to save the earth. So you're right. So God is not looking for partnership as a selfish thing of like, I want people just to worship me. Yeah. I'll be the God. You come worship me. Or neither is he like saying, hey, which also, by the way, that translates to church.
Sure.
That
sure,
we're
sure,
doing, sure, right? Sure. All I need you to do is just show up and worship me every week, as if God's not doing anything. But the reality is that God, the idea of salvation doesn't mean I say yes, and now I'm saved.
Yes.
It's because you're not, and depending on what you're saying yes to, I'm a sinner. Okay. And I need saved. Right. That's the yes. Mm-hmm. No, because this is not what Jesus is about.
Yeah.
In order to say yes to Jesus, you have to know what he's about. Yes. And what Jesus is actually about is he's on mission to bring God and humanity back together.
Yeah.
Reconciliation and recreation, you know, as that term's kind of a new popular deal, recreation. to get back to the ultimate purpose, because that's what Jesus came to bring mm-hmm. and to establish. And that's why he is both, he's, as Matthew 28 says, Jesus in that Great Commission says, all authority mm-hmm. in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so therefore, I'm setting up the kingdom of heaven here, because yeah. that's the original plan. And your purpose as human beings, created human beings, it has an origin as well. And so I'm trying to, God is trying to find partners who, number one, want to go, yeah, I need to be recreated. I need to be connected back to what it was. And when you say yes to that, it's like you're saying yes to the military. Yep, I believe the Marines are the way to go. I'm signing up. Oh yeah, by the way, we're going to war. Oh, well, I thought I would just go to boot camp and I just get to wear a uniform. Get a GI and Bill. Yeah. No, that's not what the Marines are for, bud. You know, so it's the same kind of concept. If you're signing up for salvation, you're signing up for all of this.
Yeah.
And it's not just going to the cul-de-sac and hanging out. I'm saved. Here I am. No, it's about being a disciple who is eventually going to go and act like a rabbi.
I think also part of that too, I think people have a hesitation of what Jesus is inviting us into, because I think they think there's this huge barrier of perfection. They're saying, I'm looking for people that are perfect and have a desire to be perfect, right? Through this moral code. I think a lot of people have a turn off or against Christianity because they think like, oh, I have to like, you do eventually have to give up a lot of your lifestyle. But this is like, I can't do so many things. Christianity is about not doing things.
Right.
Versus what is it about doing? Right. I think that's what also it's like, Jesus came to save all, not just the righteous, but the unrighteous.
Right.
I think a lot of people think, like, I don't feel like the military would actually accept me because I have like a, you know, I have flat feet.
Right.
No, that's not how it works either.
Yeah. No, Yes, I think, so do you remember, like, I don't know if it was the last episode, the episode before, we talked about the word holy, right? It's a misconception of what holy means.
Yeah.
And the reality is we said that holy does not mean perfect. It means different. And actually with God, it actually tends to mean way more on the side of unique. Mm. God does things differently. Mm. And yes, if God is calling us into partnership, he's not calling us to go figure out how to be different and then you can be with me.
Right?
That's the opposite. Yes. He says, come and be with me and then you'll figure out how to be different.
Apprenticeship.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you're going to give up. Yeah, you're going to give up things, but you give them up because as Paul used to say, as recorded the saying, is like, those things I gave up, I actually realized they were garbage.
Yeah.
They weren't really anything. They were just kind of trash. This stuff that I gained from being a student of the rabbi prepared me to be a rabbi. Mm-hmm. And it prepared me to be a true partner of heaven, which is all about all the stuff that actually really does matter.
Yeah.
And so therefore, you find meaning and purpose and actual true identity by being with the rabbi, being a true disciple of the rabbi, and eventually accepting the role of being a rabbi. Well, I just wanted to say that from Chris, Tyler, and myself, we're so very glad that you decided to stop and take a listen. If you are someone who fits that role of wondering what God wants with you, and you're looking for specifics, you know, how you can specifically be used by him, we would love to chat with you and pray for you and maybe even help you if we can. We would encourage you to go to the reologylife.com website and reach out. Or you can follow us on Instagram @reology_life. We would love to hear from you, that's for sure. Thanks again. We'll see you guys next time.